of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Please join us.
Well, good morning. This is Per Fogering, and the show is Fight the Empire. Well, the other, last week, Donald Trump took his stand-up routine to the UN, and it got him some derisive laughter. But like that other comedian, Rodney Dangerfield, he didn't get much respect. And so that leads me to wonder, the world can laugh at Donald Trump, but can it deal with all his bullying and the sanctions and all that kind of stuff? Trump and John Bolton and Mike Pompeo are really going after Iran. Immediately after Trump was elected, he pulled out of the nuclear agreement with Iran, which actually had been put there by three European countries plus Russia and China. So basically, Trump was dissing them and going after Iran and throwing the whole thing into a turmoil. And now the U.S. has they abrogated a treaty, a 1955 treaty with Iran. They've imposed all kinds of sanctions. And so one big question now is, will those sanctions stick? Will other nations obey those sanctions? I guess the deal is if a European country trades with Iran, then the U.S. applies those sanctions to that European country also. Well, for a while it looked like Europe was dithering, but now apparently Europe is trying to circumvent U.S. imposed sanctions. England, France, and Germany, are setting up a special purpose vehicle to bypass the dollar. In other words, they will trade with Iran in different currencies, and that sort of gets them out from under this domination of the dollar. And also, what's happening is that Iran, threatened by Bolton and Pompeo, is moving closer to Russia and China. So whatever the U.S. is throwing its weight around, imposing sanctions and generally bullying Iran and any other country that they don't like, and the world is less fear of the U.S. than it used to have. Some other things are happening on that front. The two Koreas are getting closer together, sort of in opposition to the U.S. The North and South Korea are apparently removing some of the landmines along the demilitarized zone. In Okinawa, an opponent of the U.S. military base there won the election for governor. So it looks in a way like what one U.S. diplomat called, quote, coercive diplomacy, that's sort of a fine term for bullying, is having less effect. So this is a result of U.S. bullying, and it's very welcome to see that the rest of the world is sort of getting together and deciding that maybe we don't need the United States so much after all. Maybe we can get along without the United States. As to Trump, you know, what's to respect? I mean, this guy is clearly unhinged. But you have to remember, a lot of people like to forget about this, our system put him in the White House. He's there because that's the way our system works. And this is the same system that we tout as being the best democracy in the world. Well, Donald Trump is one result of that. And we might ask, who is crazier? Donald Trump is obviously unhinged. But what about some guy like the late Zbigniew Brzezinski? He was the chief policy advisor to President Jimmy Carter. Brzezinski was born in Poland, grew up in Poland, and he had an obsession with Soviet Russia, which is understandable. But what's not so understandable is the lengths to which he acted out his obsession. He really wanted to get the Soviet Union out of Poland. And to do that, he decided that we would try and get the Soviet Union sucked into a Vietnam-type situation in Afghanistan. Now, at that time, Afghanistan was... it's hard to remember this, that at one time, Afghanistan... women had they had jobs, they had positions of some authority, they could wear the clothes they wanted to wear, they didn't have to wear veils or burqas or whatever, and they had a lot of the rights that we take for granted. Now, this is under a kind of a secular government that was friendlier to the Soviet Union than the U.S. wanted. There were also different factions within that government that fought each other rather fiercely. But anyway, Brzezinski had the idea that if we could get the Soviets to invade Afghanistan, they'd be stuck in a quagmire. Now, for a long time, I thought that people think, and I thought myself, that the U.S. Response was that it was a response. That, in other words, the Soviets invaded first, then the United States started... sending arms to these Afghan Mujahideen, and found out later that that is not true, that the U.S. armed these people first, and then the Soviets responded by invading, which is what the United States wanted. And indeed, the Soviets got bogged down in this interminable war. They had a lot of casualties. They were finally forced to retreat, and their own government fell not too many years after that. So Brzezinski was asked about this. He boasted about it. He said it was a good, even though you know, this led to one of the people we aided in Afghanistan was Osama bin Laden. We've had these Afghan and other jihadis from other countries ever since. The war in Afghanistan is still going on. Now the U.S. is bogged down in it. We can't seem to get out. And but Brzezinski, near the end of his life, he thought this is okay. He sort of compared which was more important, the liberation of Eastern Europe or, and this was his quote, a few stirred up Muslims. So in other words, to Brzezinski, all that happened after our involvement in Afghanistan was worth it because now Eastern Europe, Poland, and other countries are out from under Russian domination. So, you might ask, you know, that Brzezinski's obsession, which was shared by a lot of other people, and it was not trumpeted about, it was not boastful. He was very quiet behind the scenes kind of thing. This did more damage to the United States and the world than anything Trump has done so far. But who knows where Trump will go. But anyway, the thing is that nobody calls Brzezinski crazy. That he was a stalwart person in the foreign policy establishment. Another thing to think about, you know, we all revere Jimmy Carter for good reason. He was a pretty good president in many ways. And since he left office, he's been doing a lot of good things and saying a lot of good things. But at that time, when Carter was president, he knew what Brzezinski's plan was. And Jimmy Carter was the one who pulled the U.S. out of the Olympics as a protest against the Russian-Soviet invasion. Well, think about that a minute. That invasion was something that our policy was designed to produce, and here Jimmy Carter was railing against it and pulled out of the Olympics as a protest. To me, that seems a little bit hypocritical. But you have in the world of Washington, you have different groups of basically warmongers. Some want to go after Russia. Some want to go after Iran. Right now, the Trump people are really kind of gearing up for some kind of war or some kind of action against Iran, and it's getting very alarming. And what it made me think of, I don't know how many people ever heard of this book called The Three Christs of Ypsilanti. Now, this book came out, boy, back in the 50s, I think 50s, maybe the 60s, written by a psychologist named Milton Rokitch. And he was on the staff at the mental hospital in Ypsilanti, Michigan. And he ran across three different patients there, each of whom thought he was Jesus Christ. So Rokitch had the idea, well, what would happen if we sort of introduced these guys to each other? So he did. So you can imagine these three guys getting together saying, well, my name is Jesus Christ. And I said, no, I'm Jesus Christ. And I said, well, you know, so it went on from there. I mean, these guys, sometimes they nearly came to blows over who was Jesus Christ, but sometimes they managed to get along, and sometimes they sort of somehow they managed to, they worked out a way of living together, each of these purported Jesus Christ. Somehow this reminds me of the different factions in Washington. They each think that they are the anointed one, and they sometimes come to blows. They sometimes really battle each other, and they get along in different ways. So we see that kind of working out in Washington right now. But this is kind of a crazy system. It really is, and it leads to a lot of insanity. It leads to, one example is the war budget, which now is about, $800 billion. Depending on what you count, it sort of keeps moving up. It's going to probably hit a trillion someday. And this war budget was passed by Republicans and Democrats. So when it comes down to things like that, they seem to put aside the differences and pass things like the War Powers Act and war budgets and military spending and general aggressiveness around the world in general. A lot of things seem really kind of crazy in this world, on planet Earth. In the recent Hurricane Florence that hit the Carolinas, you had lakes of hog poop that flooded all over the countryside. And you might ask, well, why in God's name would anyone want to store hog crap in these big giant lagoons where they're can be disturbed by the elements or nature or whatever? Is just asking for some kind of poisoning of the land. Well, It's profitable. That's the way agriculture is done these days. That is sort of that is progress, you know, in a way. You look at the Hurricane Harvey that hit Texas, you know, flooded the Houston area. Well, so many chemicals in the water. You know, you see these people wading through water or kayaking to their homes or whatever. It's not just water that they are floating around in. They are floating around in a kind of a toxic stew of chemicals and poisons. And why is that? Why have we allowed our water system to be so easily contaminated? We look at the whole thing with plastics. Plastic used to be the one, sort of the wonderful thing of our economy, our technology. You could do all sorts of things with plastic, and nobody gave a thought to the fact that plastic does not biodegrade, but it does wear down into smaller and smaller, sort of like plastic grit, plastic dust, and it gets into the food chain. And actually get, and we are at the top of the food chain, of course, and it gets into us. It makes me think of about 10 years ago at OMSI, they had an exhibit of human cadavers that has somehow been infused with plastic to preserve them. So you go down there and you see actually these sort of stiff pink cadavers suspended in the air by wires and whatever. And, you know, sort of one envisions the rest of us, living people, somehow being infused, turning into plastic cadavers. Anyway, if anybody wants to comment on this, you can give us a call at 503-231-8187. Finally, I'd like to talk about another very crazy thing going on in San Francisco. I used to live in San Francisco back in the 60s, and boy, that city has really changed. It's San Francisco used to be a pretty strong labor town, and it was very hospitable to gay people, to writers, artists, general bohemians, beatniks, hippies, whatever. You know, it was sort of a really great city. Well, it's not that way anymore. It is so changed. Actually, San Francisco used to be rather cheap. Myself and a college friend, we rented a three-bedroom apartment near the Armory in Mission Street for, I think, we each paid $50 a month. Now, you'd maybe rent a square foot of sidewalk space for that. But anyway, the rents are crazy. Some people are crazy rich, and other people have to, forced to defecate on the streets, which annoys the richer people no end. Working people commute long, long distances just to come to work in San Francisco. And this is the result, when you think about it, this is the result of the high-tech industry. This is one thing that has pushed up all sorts of prices in San Francisco is a high-tech, which is, emanates from Silicon Valley, where San Jose used to be. I remember San Jose was kind of a sleepy little city, too. But anyway, this high-tech is the sort of the culmination of modernity and progress. But you see what it's done to San Francisco. And you know, these wunderkind from Silicon Valley, we find out that they are just as greedy and foolish as anybody else. They may talk a lot about kind of wonderful Google-type world we live in, but at bottom, they sort of got the same attitudes that some of the robber barons of the old have, and they have turned San Francisco into really a one giant expensive, to me, kind of like a compared to what it used to be, a kind of a hell. And one example, recently there's this building in San Francisco, kind of at the foot of Mission Street, called the Millennium Tower. It's this big condo, a very expensive condos and everything. I think it's about a 50 or 60 story building. And it turns out that this building is sinking and tilting. And why that is, I am not sure. A lot of land in San Francisco along the bay is all filled in. They started doing that back in the days of the 49ers. They used to say that anything east of Montgomery Street was filled land. Well, some of those big, huge high-rises are built on this land. Now, the one on Mission Street may have been disturbed by some other projects going on. But here is this big, giant building. The walls are cracking. Windows are cracking. The building is, I think, sank about a foot and a half in some areas, and is leaning over. And I don't know if they can save it. There's talk, I think, of somehow drilling down a bedrock, wherever bedrock is down there, and sort of putting in sorts of concrete, pouring concrete to support this leaning millennium building. And, well, will it work? I don't know. We think of blowback and unintended consequences. Well, they may be unintended, but they could have been foreseen. So, San Francisco, in a way, it's a monument to our system, a monument to our ideas, our notions of progress, a singing monument. And it's, I don't know, may wind up being kind of like an epitaph or something. It's, this is kind of an insane project and part of the insane world that we live in right now, where life itself is under threat. The Amazon is under constant threat. You know, the Amazon is supposed to be the lungs of the planet. Well, if that's the case, then it would seem that the rest of the planet, all the other people in the world, ought to contribute something to keep those lungs in good working order. But instead, we have other countries, mainly the U.S., trying to pressure Brazil to get rid of Lula da Silva and Dilma Rousseff. And right now you have, I think Brazil is probably one of the most corrupt countries in the world. Probably every last person in parliament is some kind of a crook. And so all these crooks gathered together, and they deposed Dilma Rousseff on maybe not totally trumped up charges, but some minor violations. And then they also right now Lula da Silva is in prison, so he is not allowed to run in the upcoming elections. The leading candidate is a right winger who looks back fondly on the days of the dictatorship back in the 60s. And so this is Brazil, which is supposedly the guardian of the lungs of the planet. And one of the big powers on the planet, namely the United States, seems to be firmly behind these corrupt rulers. In fact, Pepe Escobar, who originally is from Brazil, but now he travels around Asia a lot, I interviewed him on this show several times, and he thinks that the U.S. actually set up this soft coup against Dilma Rousseff. He says that the U.S. Used its information and that it got from hacking to help bring down Rousseff. So here is the U.S. Playing its traditional power politics in Brazil, which may actually help destroy the very lungs of this planet. Well, no one calls the leaders who did this strategy, no one calls them crazy, but you have to think there's a kind of insanity here that passes for sound, rational thinking. But you see where it is all leading to. So anyway, this is I guess we have. We will just have to wait and see what happens to the lungs of the planet. What will happen to the Millennium Tower in San Francisco? Will it fall over, and will it just sort of crumble, or will they manage to save it? Who knows? Will they manage to save the whole project of modernity and progress, which seems to be falling apart at the seams all around the world? Well, meanwhile, we are stuck with Donald Trump for two more years. And just keep in mind that our system put Donald Trump where he is now. But yet we go around the world sort of touting this system. We are supposedly the best democracy in the world, which is actually not true. And we're not even the oldest democracy in the world. I think the honors for that might go to Iceland, which had a parliament way back in the year 900 and something. But what are we selling? What are we selling to the rest of the world? We are selling some kind of a spurious project that is falling apart. Meanwhile, the rest of the world seems to be aligning itself in a different way. You know, we talk about the Chinese New Silk Roads project, which has sort of enlisted a lot of nations, which is allied with Russia, which is actually, you know, a Eurasian nation. And so there is this huge kind of economic sphere taking shape in Eurasia, which will probably outpace the United States and the Western Hemisphere. It is doing so right now. And a lot of the moves that we make, namely against countries like Iran and India and everybody, that are actually encouraging this thing. So here we are, kind of aiding and abetting the very forces that threaten to undermine our domination of the world. So that's sort of the way the planet is going these days. So I want to thank you very much for listening. We're getting near the end of our end of this show. We got one call, and it has to be fast. Who's on the line? Welcome to KBOO. Somebody there?
Brett Kavanaugh.
Oh, another little bit of insanity. Yes, well.
Ooh, yes. Are you kidding me? What's been happening? Well, anyway, that's it.
That's it. Thanks, well, sir. What a note to end on. Brett Kavanaugh, yes. Well, there's an example of, I guess, white male privilege. We'll see if he actually makes it to the Supreme Court or not. I don't know. I have a feeling that he may not make it, that if he ever does get on the Supreme Court, he may be impeached or who knows. But whatever happens to him, we are in for a rough ride. And let's try and keep sane in these times ahead. So this has been Fight the Empire, and stay tuned to KBOO. It's your radio station, folks, and stay tuned for, I think, Air Cascade is coming up next, followed by Flashpoints. So stay tuned. Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor The Art of the Guillotine and other class horror stories on Friday, October 5th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the AFRU Gallery in Portland. In this exhibit, Shane Bugby has created a variety of handmade flags with messages for the powers that be, sculptural works that include $10,000 of real shredded U.S. currency, detention center Liberty Shanks, and a life-size model of a guillotine. The opening features snacks, cake, and interactive performances. Again, that's The Art of the Guillotine and other class horror stories on Friday, October 5th, from 6 to 10 p.m. at the AFRU Gallery, 534 Southeast Oak Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
So happy you could die. I told myself that you were right for me, but felt so lonely in your company. But that was love and it's an ache I still remember. To the end.